We're in Genesis chapter 18 today. Genesis 18, verse 15. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. You know, well, I suppose I should give a little bit of background. The Lord himself, along with two angels, appeared before Abraham's tent and informed him that by this time next year, they would have that promised baby that God had promised actually decades before, and Sarah would be the mother. And Sarah was kind of listening through the keyhole, and she heard that, she laughed. And the Lord confronted Abraham. He said, why did Sarah laugh? He said, is anything too hard for me? And then verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he, that is, the Lord said, but you did laugh. So Sarah was afraid, so she lied to God, saying, I didn't laugh. But God said, yes, you did. You know, God not only can do anything, which her and Abraham having this son in their old age certainly proves, but he also knows everything. We can't fool God. Now, we can maybe hide our sins from others, but we can't hide them from God. And so never make the mistake that Sarah made. She was afraid to be honest with God, which is really stupid. She didn't want to admit her sin because she didn't want God to know that she did it. Now think about that. He knew. He always knows. You know, confessing our sins to God doesn't inform him about anything. But it does bring us forgiveness. Everyone should have a healthy fear of God, but never be afraid to be honest with him concerning your doubts and your confusion and your sins. He won't get angry at you. He won't be disappointed with you. He wants to help us, but we need to talk to him and be honest with him. Verse 16. It says, and the men, that would be the Lord and the two angels, rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Notice how Abraham went with these strangers as they began to leave. I get the feeling that Abraham enjoyed their company and didn't want it to end. God is good company, you know. It may be hard sometimes to pray or read the Bible. It may not always be easy to come to church or to Bible study, but God will make it worth your while if the Word of God is being proclaimed there. When we draw close to God and we begin to sense his presence, it's hard to stop, and you can't wait to do it again. So Abraham is sort of tagging along with the Lord and the two angels, not wanting this time with the Lord to end. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? God is going to tell Abraham something that he would not have told him if Abraham had not stuck with him. How can someone tell you something if you don't spend time with them? Abraham did. So now he'll be blessed because of it. And when we spend time with God, he starts showing us things and telling us things. And that's fun, because we are connecting with our Creator. It's something that the unsaved never experience, and for that matter, the lukewarm Christians don't either. 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know." Well, I'm sure Abraham knew that Sodom was a bad place. I'm not sure that he knew how bad they were, or how close they were to being punished by God for their sin. But God is about to tell Abraham all about it. And Sodom's punishment will be a lesson to all sinners who refuse to repent. It will be a lesson to God's Old Testament people, Israel, and to Christians today as well. God loves to show mercy and to forgive those who ask for it. But he also punishes those who despise his mercy and kindness. Let's go back and read verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. And God is saying, Abraham, I've been hearing lots of bad things about Sodom and Gomorrah. And evidently he has been receiving many prayers telling him just how sinful those cities are. Verse 21, God says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. Well, you know, God did not have to leave heaven and come to earth to know that those cities were evil. He knew. But God wants us to know that when it comes to punishing sinners, he is always just in doing it. God never punishes on the basis of hearsay or in the heat of rage. God is a fair God. He judges on the basis of facts. And that's what he wants us to understand here. 22. And the men, talking about the two angels, turned their faces from thence, from Abraham, and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And of course, he was thinking about his nephew Lot. Abraham is concerned. God is going to Sodom. And if it is as bad as he has been told, he will punish. Well, Abraham knows that Sodom is a wicked place. Abraham knew that sinners must be punished if they refuse to repent. But he wonders if God will wipe out everyone. And of course, he is thinking about that nephew of his, Lot. Verse 24. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous who are there? Notice that he isn't just asking God to spare the righteous in those cities. He's asking if God will spare even the wicked if he finds 50 righteous people in those cities. Those who have experienced God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ should not want to see others punished. Godly people should be concerned about ungodly people. The forgiven should want the unforgiven to repent and be spared, not continue in sin and be condemned? Verse 25. He answers his own question, Abraham does. That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God will always do the right thing. That's why, no matter what he deserves, I should say, no matter what the sinner deserves, God will allow him to receive mercy if he truly wants it. Because God is right, and that means he is merciful. He's right in every aspect. God will always do the right thing, and that's why, no matter what, he deserves our worship and our respect. When you don't understand why things are the way they are, give God the benefit of the doubt. Don't blame God. He doesn't do wrong. He cannot do wrong. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Trust him. When you don't understand, when you don't like something, trust him. He can't do wrong. 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham knew that the Lord was a merciful God. So he prayed for mercy, and God said yes. You know, prayer isn't so much about asking for what we want. That's part of prayer, but it's not the most important part. Prayer is searching the Bible, discovering what God is like and what God likes, and then asking him to make it happen. You say, well, then what's the benefit of prayer to us? Well, we get to spend time with God. The act of praying will strengthen our souls, whether the answer to the prayer is yes or no. That's secondary. Time with God is the most important thing. 27, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. You know that we are dust. That's a good thing to remember. And it's a good thing to remember when we pray. We are dust. The humility that understands that God is everything and we are dust, we're just unworthy sinners, is one of the basic components of holiness and answered prayer. If people don't recognize their true state, but instead approach God with an attitude of entitlement, their prayers aren't going to be answered the way they want them to be. It's certainly not going to get a yes answer. 28. Abraham says, peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Notice the spin Abraham puts on his prayer. God, you wouldn't destroy the city because it lacks 5 good people, would you? Well, he suggests that 5 bad people are the issue. In other words, God, you wouldn't destroy the entire place because there are 5 bad people there, would you? Well, no, he wouldn't. But the reason those cities are in such big trouble is that there are many more than 5 bad people there. 29. And he, Abraham, spoke unto him, the Lord, yet again, and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. He said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Now, God has been saying yes to Abraham's prayers, so Abraham just keeps praying. Prayer is fun when we see results, and we are more likely to see results when our prayers are linked up with the Bible. When we line our prayers with the Bible, we're lining them up with the will of God and the person of God, and they're more likely to get a yes answer. And I hate to stop right in the middle of this bargaining session here, but you know, we're just about out of time, so we'll pick it up in verse 30 next time.